This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 3, Episode 26. I am joined by Maz and Ryan, and just as a disclaimer, this video can go many ways. Ryan is very ill, but fair play, he's at come on. He's shown his face, which is brilliant. We're going to talk about a 1-0 win.
I'm ill, as we've also
Maz has been ill ever since he was born. He's just a sick kid.
COVID, actually. It's COVID.
Yeah. A bit different. This is a bit different this time. This isn't just a deal.
And I'm super tired as well. So a bit, this is going to be a cracking bad. Yeah. But we will hopefully... I've still got fucking... Can you see my eyes look a bit darker?
No.
Basically, I had to go to a party yesterday and the theme was drag.
Sorry, you had to go to a party?
Yeah, it was my friend's birthday.
Did someone force you by gum?
You can't say no, but I'm just looking at the camera. But yeah, that's
what'd you go dressed up? Yeah. What'd you go dressed up as?
So I was a cowboy, but then you had to have drag makeup on.
Nice.
I want to see the photo.
Yeah, I want to see photograph again.
I know. I was literally like, I put a bin by the front door. I was like, everybody just put all your phones and cameras in there. There's no way anyone's shooting or filming anything. Is some stuff, but I haven't put it anywhere. Although if you're on my close friends on Instagram, you probably did see something quite graphic. You two both are, so you would have seen it if you were on Instagram. Anyway, let's talk about Brighton. That's all right. Matoma's incredible, and that's the end of the episode. Yes, cheers for watching. Goodbye. First of all, Maz, how's your weekend been?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Just been doing a lot of cooking, weirdly. A lot of cooking, and then just watch Brighton, and that was about it, really. I haven't really been up to much. It's been a pretty quiet weekend in that sense. Not had much going on. Oh, and then actually, tell a lie, on Friday night, I went and filmed outside Stamford Bridge for work.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting, seeing the Fulham and Chelsea fans.
Not having a good time over there in Cobham.
Yeah. I mean, Fulham are having a great time in comparison to Chelsea. Chelsea fans, they've spent a lot of money and not really achieved much.
It is horrible. What a shame. I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of Graham Potter, Ryan? You know, the one from Haters TV? The joke, the journalist said. Oh, it's class. So he literally sat down. He's like, hello. And he was like, what was he saying? He was like, a lot of people here in the press room today.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the guy was like, a bit like you're dressing me then. He was like,
he put it on Seagull Social.
Yeah.
Fucking
class, man. Yeah, that was very good. Brian, how have you been? Obviously, you've been ill. Do you want to tell the listeners what's going on?
Not really.
No. You've got to explain your absence, Ryan. You've got to explain your absence.
I don't like doing that, but we'll just say that I've had pneumonia. Still probably do. It's not been good. We've got through it. I've had it before when I was 12. So 10 years ago to now. It's not been good. To anyone that's had a chest infection of that velocity, it's not fun. But we're getting through it. It's more about the deliriousness, I think, is the bit that's a bit crazy, really. But it's okay. We're getting through it. I've still been trying to tweet and trying to make appearances for the fact that I've been off the face of the earth. But it's nice to be back doing something. This is the first actually work-related thing I've done For 2 weeks. So if you don't be, I don't like
a bit of normality back in your life.
It's, yeah. It is a bit weird. And it's half eight. So it's a very weird time to start doing something again. It's good to be back on doing something again. I haven't been to the games for the last two. And I think that that's just driven me a little bit mad as well. Cause just, I can't really give you a decent insight on Bournemouth because I wasn't there. My sister went, so I gave her my ticket for £5. So
get her on the pod.
£5 transfer for a £600 season ticket, but here we are. She's probably, I've made her right into it. I think she's been to the last two now, so she's probably better value than I am.
respect for you coming on, Ryan.
Appreciate it.
We made it.
Good to get the trio back. Thank God, by the way, that we're actually talking about a win. Can you imagine if we've dragged you on to talk about a 0-0 draw against Bournemouth?
I don't like Bournemouth as it is. So, like, you know, they're just so pointless. So I don't like that club. So it's nice.
That's what people say about Brighton.
True.
Historically speaking, we've not had the best of times.
Struggle with them.
No.
They beat us 5-0, 3-1.
Yeah, that was peak.
We've had our wins, 3-1, 2-0, and 1-0. But, yeah. 5-0 was a bit of a battering, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
yes,
woeful.
I remember
speaking
that
of woeful, huh, anyone know what I'm about to say? Speaking of woeful, Neil Mopay 2.0. Right, I'm not going to be too harsh.
Respecting that, though. Respecting that.
No, I will. I'm joking.
Definitely.
But that was... Okay, so if obviously you do know, because you've watched the match, guys, but Dennis Undav had like three sitters back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, it was a wild
and
one.
It was like something, you know, you see like clips of people playing Ultimate Team where shit like that happens. Flexion hits the post. It was like that, but in real life. And I was just looking at him. He's like, mate, nothing's going right for you. And then I think like 5 minutes later, he gives away a stupid foul. And I'm thinking, man,
By the third one that hits the post, you don't even react.
Yeah,
it's like you just know, like it's just one of those. But
yeah,
credit to him for coming back mentally. Yeah. It must have been he did well in the rest of the game.
I was about to say, like, I think, yeah, don't get me wrong, those three chances / misses, yeah, not great, but general play. And I thought he had that cross for Welbeck at one point. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, just his general play wasn't bad. I think his confidence is obviously clearly lacking, right? Because he hasn't had
shot, absolutely like, shot. Yeah,
yeah, his confidence is probably right. You know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. But yeah, I think it's harsh to say he's a bad player. I just think he's not got great form at the moment. His confidence is a bit.
It was nice that it was an opportunity to give him some game time as well. Obviously, Evan Ferguson is injured, but it was nice to see him play because obviously, if Evan Ferguson wasn't injured. Would be playing.
This is the thing, though. We always moan, don't we, about why are you not playing certain players? Like, why don't we not get to see certain players? And now he's doing it. We can't moan for them.
Yeah, positive, then, to be honest. I mean, like the overall performance was pretty good, and it shows that actually he clearly has a future. Because one of the biggest criticisms, particularly from us, was he didn't see enough of him off the ball and enough of him, you know, holding the ball up, that sort of thing, traditional centre forward stuff. We hadn't seen that really in Undav. Whereas I think in the last sort of two or three appearances, including that friendly against Villa, you're starting to see what he's about. So it's good, and respect him as well for, I think he actually rejected the opportunity to go on loan because he wanted to stay and fight for his place. And, and that's respectable. So I hope he does well. And I think he's got signs,
I think the final thing for me on Undav, I think he's definitely got potential to like do well for us. It's just, I think if he doesn't, from let's say now until the end of the season, doesn't show enough, unfortunately, I think next season it's going to be really difficult for him to get into the team because Ferguson will be fully fledged. We'll have Adingra back on from loan. We'll have Simmer back. We'll have Shaqiri. There'll be a lot of forward options, I think, that he'll be competing against. And I just don't think he'll be on that
anyway,
level.
And there is a Jahanbash back after he got his double today. Come off the bench, 10 minutes later,
bring him back. I think come end of the season, if he hasn't proven himself, I think he's going to really struggle to keep his...
Yeah.
Well, be in the squad next season, to be honest.
Yeah, or even get any minutes. And even in Ciso coming up as well, you've got some minutes eventually. Mm. Undav did nearly win us a penalty right at the beginning as well, but then I think it was given as a foul on Neto when Welbeck went up for a header. It looked like it could have been if it wasn't given as a foul for the previous action. Mm. That would have been good. We looked pretty sharp at the start. Every time we were attacking, it looked like we could score or make a chance. And then all of a sudden, down the other end, I think Sanchez... gives the ball away. That's what happens when we play this kind of football.
Yeah.
Those mistakes are going to happen. People are going to get dispossessed. A poor pass is going to happen. I mean, even City today against Tottenham, that's how they conceded. They're passing it around the back. Even the best teams do make mistakes there. But yeah, Sanchez distribution, it's like a blade trimmer, just went straight to the Bournemouth guy.
Yeah, I'm watching Spurs City earlier. I was watching it. I was thinking it makes you appreciate how good we are at what we do, because I just think that, you know, City have really not been at their normal level this year. Tottenham don't look all that, I don't think. I just think that we actually have been one of the best performers in this 2023 start, I think, in the Prem. I mean, we are top of the form table, but, you know, just watching the way that those two play today, two of the biggest teams in the league, I just look at them and I think we're actually better than both of you at the minute. And that's a credit to what De Zerbi's done since he's come in.
I think another credit to Zerbi as well is how many goals we're scoring. And we mentioned last week about how many goals like we've scored, and compare it to, and especially with Potter against Fulham when they drew a blank. I think it's more apparent that maybe Potter was the problem rather than our strikers.
Interesting.
You know, could he have been the problem? Because we were moaning for what, three seasons. Yeah, really? Three seasons we couldn't apparently score, and he seemed like, not he refused, but he never really got a striker in to try and fix these problems. And then De Zerbi again, and De Zerbi, to be fair, he's got Ferguson, I suppose, and Danny Welbeck to an extent.
He has asked for a striker, we know that publicly. Yeah.
So he hasn't fully got one yet, but he's got enough scoring. I think we're the highest goal scorers since the turn of the year, I think, in the Premier League.
That was the first time we hadn't scored two goals in a game as well for like since the restart. We're just banging in goals for fun, which is crazy.
But at the same time, it's like wins that, like a 1-0 against Bournemouth at home, when it's a team that we don't beat and a team that's at the bottom of the league. You know, that last year, I think we would have thrown that away. And, you know, this year it's completely different. It's a different mentality. And it means more. It almost means more than a 3-0 win against Liverpool, because you're proving that you can grind it out even when you're not particularly playing at your best. Even though we still played some great stuff, don't get me wrong. But it's a new mentality that I haven't seen a Brighton team have in my life watching them, I don't think.
It's like we're not watching Brighton almost. we're winning games we're expected to win. Like normally Bournemouth, like you said, would be a game that we trip up on. Mm-mm. And then when we're expected to get 3 points. But yeah, the fact that the clutch of Matoma saved us. Before we obviously get to that, if Bournemouth nearly took the lead, Lerma, of all people.
They had their chances, to be fair.
Yeah, they did. They had loads of chances. They could have scored quite a few times. And then I guess in the second half as well, Purvis Estupiñan, and let's talk about him, because he made an incredible block. Pretty much saved us the game. So that would have put their 1-0 up quite late on. But yeah, Ryan, I think you're a big fan of him. What did you make of his performance?
Purvis has been great. I think that he was almost playing a little bit deeper. You know, that left
centre. Yeah, he's playing on left centre-back, wasn't he?
And it worked really well. I think Veltman was probably our most touch-and-go for once, and he was a bit all over the place at times. Mm. And the way that Estupiñan covered when Veltman made that sort of mistake, he lunged in, didn't he, against the new Semedo. I thought when he recovered that block was fantastic, but also just his overall game again is just fantastic again. And I just think, you know, you watch him every single week now playing for Brighton. It was only last season he was playing for a Villarreal team in the Champions League, and you know, we didn't have any right to sign a Villarreal left back, if you know what I mean. They're a much bigger club than us over in Spain. So when he came over, we knew that he was going to be quality. He just had a bit of a bumpy start, as we said at the time, but he's just come on in absolute leaps and bounds, and he's probably at the moment the best left back in the league.
Yeah, because remember we had that debate. We were saying who is the best left back, and João Cancelo was in that conversation, but now he's obviously left the league. He's not in the league anymore. So purposes about Estupiñan could be the best left back in the Premier League
at the moment. I don't know who else is better. I mean, you've got Luke Shaw at United.
Luke Shaw, yeah,
but I reckon that Zinchenko. But I think that both those teams would take Estupiñan if you offered them. So, you know, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. We could be in the arrogant situation now. We beat teams a lot better than us, and we beat teams that we should be beating. I mean, it's not the Brighton team of promise and no delivery, is it? It's a team of results, and we haven't seen that before. We haven't been able to say this before.
Could Purvis Estupiñan become one of the best left backs in the world?
I mean,
is that a stretch?
When we're in a Champions League, mate.
I mean, anything's possible. Like, you can't say nothing, like, it will never happen. But if I'm being totally honest, I don't think he'll become world class, as in be one of the like leading left backs in the world. I think he's got his little, you know, slight what's it called, imperfections. But I think he's a top quality left back. I think he's, yeah, definitely for me at the moment, one of the best in the league for like by a stretch.
Genuinely at the moment though, what do you think his imperfections are?
Well, no, as in, I don't. When you say world class, we are talking about.
So, do you not think he would be like in that conversation in a few years' time? Like when you talk about best left backs,
no.
Do you reckon this is just like a purple patch or?
Yeah, no. That's not to say, like, you know, when you say world class, I think that's, you know, like a playing for the top clubs in the Champions League week in, week out, top, like, you know, 9 out of 10 performances.
Mm. I think
he will get there.
Mate, he got to the semi-final of the Champions League and was integral in that team for Villarreal.
Okay, but would you at the time, was he ever in the conversations of best left-back in the world?
He was talked about as one of the upcoming. I mean, to be honest with you, he's come on and signed for us playing in the Premier League. It's the best league in the world, no? So, I mean, if you're playing at that top level, have done it in the Champions League before, I mean, you could look at Cucurella as a prime example of a player that, you know, it was fantastic here, has gone to a bigger team and perhaps let down, but then never did it before us. I mean, he was in the academy at Barcelona, played in Getafe, but never did it at that top level, whereas Estupiñán already has. I mean, we didn't have any right to sign him, realistically. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable, I think, the way he's playing this season. But again, we've got such a great working system here that, you know, it's hard to measure, but I think that the proof is in the pudding of that he's done it before. So,
I just personally think when you talk world class, I just can't see it myself. But you never know.
Interesting. Yeah, see, I reckon he could. I reckon he could be. If he carries on like he's playing right now, there's no reason why. And this pains me to say, obviously, but there's no reason why he won't end up at a top club if he carries on like he is right now.
I think he's fantastic at the moment, and I think that, as you say, if you offered him to any of the sort of top clubs at the moment, Arsenal, Man City, even now, I think if you offered them to any of these clubs, they wouldn't think twice. I think you would be lucky to have a Estupiñán in your team. I think he is. I actually struggle to think of imperfections at the moment. He's very good in a left-sided centre-back role, as we've seen. He's very good going up and down. Good in the tackle. Reads the game very well. Puts a fantastic cross in.
But also, like, Ryan, when he first joined, you weren't 100% sure on him. So you can see why.
Yeah. So like, you signed him at the beginning and you could see what he was trying to do. And that was trying to almost be that Champions League player. I think at the beginning, it was like he was trying to put on maybe a bit more of a show, was trying to do a bit too much. But then we said at the time, and I said at the time, you could go back on the video and it would have said he's you could tell he's quality. But he's just trying too much different, you know, he's trying to be too extra. And I think that as soon as he's now cut that out, I think that you can see every bit of quality that he possessed in the beginning.
Yeah.
Hmm. What did you, we had another new player in the team, Billy Gilmore.
Yeah.
What did you make of him? I feel like at the start, he was a bit shaky. He made a few mistakes. And then I think he kind of got into the game a bit. Maybe towards the end of the first half, but there were quite a few mistakes I'd noticed. Maybe I was just being hypercritical and seeing him get dispossessed, but he gave the ball away a few times, I think. Do you see promise in him? Do you reckon there is a future for him at the club, Maz?
100%. I think, you know, that shot everyone thought that went in, obviously, that was a good effort. Like you said, he did give the ball away at times, and he didn't have the greatest of games, but also I don't think he had and I remember, what's it called, against Arsenal, I know he got a bit of slack for that game, but I actually thought he was pretty good that game. So I thought it was a bit unfair, some of the criticism he got, and even after the game against Bournemouth, I thought it was a little bit unfair. Some quarters were saying he, you know, wasn't good enough, because Again, talking of Undav, you've got to look at Gilmore as well. He's not been given exactly a full, you know, stretch to play 90 minutes week in, week out to really, you know, show what he's all about. So, I think he's definitely got a future here, for sure. He just needs to play more, I suppose. But it's difficult because he's got Caicedo, McAllister and, you know, sometimes Pascal Gross, depending on where he plays, in front of him. And it's just, it's difficult to get into the team right now because of how well we're playing. So he's got a tough job, but I think he's you know, given a good account of himself to what he can. But he can still play better, but, you know, I don't think he's as bad as some people are making out.
That's fair. What about you, Ryan? Do you reckon he can fill the boots of McAllister when, God forbid, he does eventually leave the goals.
I don't know about filling the boots of McAllister. But you know, I like Gilmore. I think he shows his quality a lot. I think that he's in a, you know, when we've seen him, he's not been in a team that's, you know, been our strongest. He's always had to be the focal point. And I find it always very harsh that he's the focal point when he's the 21-year-old from Chelsea. You know, he's not the, I don't know, he's not going to cover for both Caicedo and McAllister every time because it's just harsh. I think if he was playing in that three, it'd be easier to judge him. But I do think he's different to what we've got. I mean, as we've mentioned with Estupiñán, what he's so good at is those line-breaking passes. And that's exactly what De Zerbi needs in his team. Probably Gilmore isn't going to give you those, you know, whereas McAllister, Caicedo are. So I think that it's hard, but he's more of an almost like traditional number six with a bit more energy than one. And that's great if you've got a balance. But I think that in the times that he's played, he just hasn't had the balance around him to be able to prove it. And that's why I think he gets so much stick. And I do feel sorry for him when he gets it because I don't think it's warranted at all. You can tell the quality of the kid. And I think he's definitely got a future.
Yeah.
I think, Ryan, the point you made about him not playing in the best, like our best 11, I think that's so true. Like that's probably the biggest factor is because, yeah, he's having to either fill in for McAllister or for Caicedo.
Yeah. And that's two of our like most influential players. It's like, it's so harsh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, put him alongside those two players. You never know. That could be our midfield three going forward.
And right? Then you can judge. And then you can say, like, you could be like, look, Gilmore's clearly a lot worse, so he's not warranted, and Lallana or Gross should be there. And fair enough. Once that happens, that happens. But I think that what you need to see him in that balance to be able to judge him fully and be like, yeah, okay, he ain't good enough, or he's perfect. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, totally agree.
If he reaches his potential, which he has got a very big potential, I think he could be, a very, very good player for us.
Definitely, and
That is a very clever signing.
Did so well for Chelsea, mate.
I hope we make more signings like that. And not just buying random youngsters from South America, which, a player like Billy Gilmore becomes available. It's a clever signing for us.
Yeah, for sure.
And then what I absolutely loved seeing at my football club, Brighton of Albion, is being seen all these young players playing together. I think at one point towards the end we had Buenanotte, how we pronounce it. We had Enciso, Sarmiento playing. I'm thinking of one more, but yeah, we had those young three playing, and just like it's just so sick seeing them leading the line. Enciso was, I think he had a really, really good shot. He's linking up with Buenanotte quite well. What did you make of him, Ryan? Do you think he had a good debut for his first few minutes?
It's hard to judge me because I can't judge midfielders when I wasn't there. I feel like I'm being unreasonable. So I struggle to give a full judgment on Buenanotte. Yeah, it's hard because, like, you know, he's shown glimpses, right? But I think, you know, if, like, I always go on about when you see McAllister or Lallana, or for example, when you'd see City come over and Bernardo Silva comes and runs the game, you know, you can watch that player on and off the ball, and when they're just sort of floating around, directing what to do and making space for themselves. And I think that's what the sign of one of those top quality midfielders like Buonanotte is. So when I see it, I'll give the proper verdict. To be honest with you, my brain's so clouded. I don't really remember as well.
This might be an easier question. Do you think Potter, if Potter was still here, do you reckon he would have thrown him straight in? Or do you reckon he would have had...
No.
He would have had years and loans. That's what I'm saying. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Zerbi's thrown him straight in. Even in the press conference before, he was like, he's going to get 20, 25 minutes, which is very honest, just to already tell him what substitute you're going to have. He even confirmed that Lamptey was going to
start. He kept his word again, you know, and I think that's so good.
Especially when we were 0-0, wasn't it? And I was like, when it wasn't on the pitch, I was like, will he bring him on, or will he bring on maybe someone that might be a bit more of a game changer, give us more of a chance? But yeah, even at 0-0, he still brought him on.
Yeah, and I think De Zerbi's just, he's an absolute breath of fresh air, you know, like to have this honesty and integrity, but just transparency as well, just to be able to be a part of us. And it feels like for once that we've got our manager, someone that we believe in, we trust in. You know, we used to say, like, you know, trust the process with Potter, or, you know, something like something like that. But I think that there was always the element of grey of, you know, if you put out a bold team, do we trust that? Because there is a potential we could throw away. As we did a few times, sometimes it worked. But I think that at the beginning of this Bournemouth game, the team was different. But I just thought, if De Zerbi thinks this lot are going to be good enough, so do I. Because, well, who am I to say he's wrong? Because I've got to trust him. I've got no reason to not to. And I still don't. So until I have a reason not to trust this guy, I'm going to keep trusting him, and it keeps working. So,
yeah,
you know,
I really love the way that De Zerbi's putting in these younger guys and giving them chances. Yeah. Like under Potter, don't get me wrong, Potter did at times give, you know, the youngsters, especially obviously bringing Lamptey in from Chelsea and giving them an instant chance. You know, he did do it, but I feel like De Zerbi's on a different level in that sense, where he will give these youngsters a chance, like, you know, put Moran on the bench, putting you know, kids that are still super young from our youth team on the bench, even just to give them that confidence, give them that, you know, belief that you are, you're good enough to be part of this squad. Like, maybe not right now, but you by being on the bench, you are, you know,
the experience of it.
Yeah, you're getting that experience and stuff. So I think, yeah, I really love the way he really tries to blood the youth, and you saw it by bringing in Buonanotte, that he, yeah, does trust him, and he didn't bring him in just to send him out on loan and, you know, giving him even 15 minutes. That would do him the world of good going into the next game. So, yeah, and I love the way what De Zerbi's doing at the moment.
Mm. And before we go on to Mitoma, I just remembered, obviously, Caicedo came back. Yes. And he had a very, very good reception, which is really nice to see. I did see on Twitter before people saying we need to sing his song, we need to applaud him when he comes on. And I'm glad the people in the stadium stuck to that, because it would have been very awkward if he got booed. I saw one tweet from one of the journalists that were there. He said there were more claps and more boos, but I don't think there actually were any boos. I'm not sure. Maybe one or two, but from the video that I saw, you couldn't really hear any boos. But no, it was nice.
Fake news when we booed against Leeds.
Oh, God, yeah. Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
There's just 10 people who ended up being the whole stadium.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. But no, that was nice to see. I suppose that probably made him feel really nice, like very happy as well. Because
I think
that surely part of him would have been shitting it, thinking, God, what kind of reception am I going to get walking back?
Yeah. I think, do you know what? What I personally believe is that he didn't really have any part in that Instagram post. I feel like the agents did that for him. And they've actually come out since and said that they actually did it.
Drafted it.
Yeah. It was literally, and he could even see the way he wrote it. Like, it was obviously not him. And I think that deep down, he was happy at Brighton. Well, I think he still is happy at Brighton, judging by the celebrations when we scored. He, you know, I think he still wants to be part of the team. And of course, he's got ambitions. I'm not saying that he's a, you know, he's probably thinking, oh yeah, I'll happily stay at Brighton for the rest of my career. I'm not, you know, we're all quite aware that he wants to make, you know, progress and stuff. But I think he genuinely was happy and genuinely is happy, but his agents were basically trying to force him out and he had to sort of play ball in a weird way. So I think, you know, as fans, of course, that is definitely a mistake on his part. He shouldn't have let, you know, his agents do that or let his behind the scenes do that.
Hopefully he'll learn from that.
Yeah. On the flip side, he's still our player till the end of the season. So we might as well support him and get behind him, because he is our player. So,
and then boom, when he comes to the Amex as a Arsenal player.
Exactly.
I'm joking.
As a Chelsea player, maybe it's a Chelsea.
Yeah, it's a Chelsea player for sure. Cucurella 2.0, just getting absolutely wrenched. Snake. Well, we never actually heard what your opinion was on Caicedo, obviously, because you've been ill.
Yeah.
Just quickly round up. Obviously, we know what's happened, but what were your thoughts when it all came out, and what's happened since?
I just didn't want to not like him. I saw it and I just didn't want to not like him. You know, it's like you see something and you're like, don't do this to me.
Yeah, don't be true.
Like,
it's like
your missus is cheating on you. Like, please don't tell me. Yeah, I love you, please. Like,
It felt a bit too manic to be true. But then, you know, you never know. It's football in it these days. Modern football's mad. But I think that Moises seems like a good kid, clearly misled. Clearly, maybe not the most sort of with it with the whole transfer situation. I mean, he sacked his mum, didn't he, as his last agent. And then he's got this new agency in who don't have any track record
Football
of big
division.
Transfers. Yeah, so I just think that he's just been in the wrong crowd. I mean, it's like when your mate goes to uni and he gets involved with the wrong people and all of a sudden he's a complete clown and he comes back home and you're like, what are you doing?
Speaking from experience.
Yes. and then he comes back home and he's completely fine.
And now he makes Jack, again. Prick.
But
not Jack Albion, sorry, not you. I don't know what uni you went to.
yes, and now they're back home and it's not, nothing's changed. But no, it's pretty much that with Moyes, it feels. It's like, yeah, he's just been with the wrong people and now they're back to normal again. But yeah, he'll probably go in the summer is my feel. I don't think that he's stayed out of the fact that I think if the offer was accepted, he'd have gone. So yeah, at the same time of saying he's here for the loyalty, he's also here because we didn't let him go, which was good on the club. So yeah, I don't know. I think that there's a bit of that too. I'm not going to be too attached to him now. I think that, you know, I'll see him out. Hopefully we can get out of him what we need out of him, and he can get out of us what he needs out of us. So then we both just work together and hopefully part ways in a nice way rather than a bit
beat
of
them
a
in the Champions League final next season.
I was saying, Ryan, on the pod that you weren't on last week, that basically we need to make sure that Caicedo stays, and then now, what's the point of him if he went to Arsenal, right? Like, what's the, if he has to wait another 3-4 months, is there really a massive difference?
Yeah. I mean, in the 3 or 4 months, he could be a medal, you know, getting us to Europe. And, you know, even winning the FA Cup, say, right, in a complete dream scenario, we have a completely great season and we win the FA Cup, everything that we can achieve as a club, right? And then he goes out as a Brighton legend because he's won a trophy with us and he's got us to Europe, which is the first for both things. And he'll be recognised as that important player for that reason. And then that inflates the price for us, so we get a better price, all that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also as well, even if he does go to Arsenal and they win the Premier League, let's say, will he really feel achieved? Or like I really contributed towards this.
Yeah, because he was only 4 months he was there for.
Like, you feel like a bit of a fraud. You'd be like, well, I actually only contributed like 3 or 4 months to this.
Yeah.
Am I really like a Premier League winner, fully fledged Premier League winner? But yeah, I suppose, yeah, that's just the way I'd look at it. But I'm not Moises Caicedo. So.
Yeah. And a 3.5K thing was one. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the salary. Jesus Christ. That's so annoying.
Every comment. Yeah. So annoying.
Hope he's feeding his family all right. You know, it's just so stupid. Yeah, he's not broke, for God's sake.
He's like, I'm sure he's about 20 grand. Like,
yeah, something like that.
It's not 3.5 grand a year, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
last thing, though. Struggling. Would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when he came back to training ground. Can you imagine Dunkey being like, here he is. Yeah. Here he is.
David Brent.
We too big for you, mate, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, if anyone's not seen it, go on our Instagram or Twitter and just watch the video of the, I think, Joey Jokes. Honestly,
he's a funny
incredible
guy.
He's
so good.
He's so good.
He's podcast.
Mate, he's so funny. If no one's seen the video, go check it out because it is hilarious about Caicedo coming back to training. It's a funny little
That would have been really funny. Even like the group chats. Can you imagine like his little, the little South American group chats they've got? They must be.
Well, like Caicedo left the group.
Added him back.
Added back by Lewis Dunk.
Added back after 20 minutes.
Where do you think you're going, pal?
Don't go anywhere.
Smack around.
Maz, I'm going to throw this at you because this is the Matoma segment now, and hopefully you've got some questions and you can rattle off your brain.
Yeah.
Do you want to lead this segment about Matoma? Because he is the clutch player. He got us the last minute winner, which is just something that just shows that we're a completely different team that we used to be. We're winning games last minute where maybe we probably didn't deserve to win the game, even against Liverpool last week in the FA Cup, probably didn't deserve it. But we still won because of Matoma last minute winner. And then the same again, Matoma last minute winner. We buy a header as well, Ryan, because we know he can't head the ball, but that's two headers for him.
Okay, he can only get
apparently he can now. Yeah, he's obviously shut us up. But Maz,
take
it away.
Yeah, let's just talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Kairo Matoma. He obviously scored three in his last three, and I believe 5 in his last 6, I think I want to say. I think he's got a couple of assists in there as well. He's just been everything good about Brighton that we've done. I think he's led the line brilliantly. He's the way he takes on players. I know he's got a PhD in it, and everyone loves bringing up the fact
I've got his thesis, mate.
Have you actually?
Yeah, someone sent it to me.
Have you actually?
Yeah. I'll show you after the scene. I'll show you.
Yeah, 100%. That's class.
Oh, nice.
If anyone wasn't aware, he's actually done his dissertation or his thesis was in the art of dribbling, essentially, for anyone who doesn't know. So it explains a lot, to be fair. But yeah, he has been on incredible form, and there's been talks. Now, this is the first question I've got, and I suppose it's very similar to the question that you asked about Estupiñán. But is Kairo Matoma, and we'll start with you, Ryan, Is he the best player in the Premier League right now?
I said this, and so everyone was like, Rashford.
Yeah, it's a good debate.
Yeah, he's the only person.
Great debate.
I'm going to go bold. I'd have him over Rashford at the minute. I don't care. I actually would. I think that his overall game, the way he is, I think as a left winger, out and out left winger, I'd actually have Matoma over Rashford. I don't care what United fans say. I actually would.
Do you know what, Ryan? I actually really agree with you because Rashford, as a goal scorer right now, I think is maybe...
He's on fire. Don't get me wrong. He's on fire.
Yeah.
Matoma's done it against bigger teams.
But like you said, Ryan, general play in terms of what how he can Matoma can take players on, he can assist, he can score, he contributes to the team as a whole. I think he's better in that respect than Rashford right now, which I completely agree. Ben, do you agree with us, or are you on the dark side?
Ben's United fan
and
him telling
him
dark side.
Yeah, his brother's behind him telling him to Rashford.
Literally at gunpoint. I actually probably would say Rashford, simply because he's done it over more games. If we were judging, if you were fair, and we went to when Rashford's form started, Rashford's been doing it for like 12 games, and he scored scored 11 goals in 12 games, something like that, which is insane.
Let's do a comparison.
And obviously, Karen Matoma's is very good, but that's in a shorter time. So let's say if Matoma had done 12 games and scored like 9 goals, then there's probably the argument. But because Rashford's done it for more games,
I reckon,
I think
Matoma was wearing a sky blue City shirt with number 7, everyone would be saying absolutely no one's ever seen this before, best player in the league.
That's the sickest thing, though, because he's come out of absolutely nowhere and we're saying that he's potentially the best player in the Premier League right now. This is like a movie script.
It's a bad accolade, mate. It's like Goal.
If you Santiago Munez like randomly coming from America, playing for Newcastle, suddenly being the best player in the league. Like, that is literally what we're watching that live, and hopefully some Japanese fans are watching this podcast. And if you are, thank you. But also, if you want to watch a movie at a trilogy, watch Goal, because it's very similar to the sudden breakout.
Where have we gone on this tangent? I've completely
It's very similar to the breakout of Matoma. He's come from absolutely nowhere, tearing up in the Premier League.
Let's do a quick comparison, okay? So I've got Rashford and Matoma, 2022-23 Premier League season, okay? So this is just quickly a few stats, all right? So actually, let's do offensive. Okay, I'll do general and then I'll do offensive, okay? So
interesting.
So Rashford's got 19 appearances with 2 sub appearances, and Matoma's only got 8 starts and 7 sub appearances this season. 839 minutes for Matoma, 1,711 for Rashford. Rashford's got 10 goals in Matoma's 5, and Rashford's got 3 assists to Matoma's 1. So he does beat him at the moment for goals and assists. And then if you want to do
at United though, as well.
Rashford's got 3 man of the match.
That's a good caveat, yeah.
Both got 3 man of the match awards, and Matoma's actually got a 7 rating on WhoScored.com, whereas Rashford's got 6.99. So boom.
There you go, settled.
Right, no, and then there's so a few other little interesting stats. Key passes, Matoma's better, 0.9 to 0.7. Dribbling is 1.5 to Rashford's 1.1. I'm assuming that's successful dribbles. And then what else we've got? Rashford obviously beats him in shots per game, which is 2.7 to Matoma's 1.2. So after all that information, what do we reckon? Are we still sticking to our guns?
Matoma.
So the stats you were saying, that's like... But the thing is, if we're saying form, then you shouldn't really compare it to the whole season. That would just be like, the form would be like the time period of where he started being good.
But they're both on form right now.
Correct, but I feel like Rashford's been on form for longer than Matoma.
But that's because he's played more games, though, and started more games. I think
if you're looking at...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So then if in 6 games' time, and Matoma's continues scoring, let's say then you have a fair judgment of Rashford's 12-game streak to Matoma's 12-game streak.
I get what you're saying. If you measured goals and assists as the only way of watching football, then Rashford...
Agree.
But I think if you watch it as... what he is as a player, and the complete diversity of chance creation and the way he sort of pretty much carried our attack in the last 3 months, I would say Matoma is has been, I mean, I haven't seen anything like this as a Brighton fan. Like,
yeah. Better goals as well.
Like knockout when he signed for us in the Championship. I'd say it's the closest thing I can remember to someone coming in with this much impact and this much, you know, sort of range of skill set. I just think the way that, how productive he is when he's got the ball. I haven't seen anyone like that as a winger, as an attacker, forward, ever. And we're doing it, and we're on form to be the best team in the league at the moment, purely on results. And I think that, you know, Rashford's done it against maybe lesser opposition. You could even argue if you wanted to be like proper Twitter nerd about it. I don't know. I just think that everything about Mitoma, and I think that if he continues this, and I can't see any reason why he won't at the moment, if he continues how he's going, by the end of this season, if he's still doing this by May, people will be talking about him as the best forward, top two forward, top three forwards in the league, without a doubt. Because he's on form. Yeah, he's on form for that level, 100%.
Yeah. Look, I think, obviously, as Brighton fans, we are going to be very, what's the word?
Biased.
Biased, that's the word I'm looking for.
Although I wasn't.
He has been, genuinely, one of the best Premier League, like, first of all, buys. I know he wasn't signed this season, but you know, technically, we're going to give him. This is his first.
Yeah, Michael Owen got rinsed by that for that. A few weeks ago, didn't he? Best signing of the summer or best signing of the season. Everyone's like, he was signed last year. Actually,
a lot of people, a lot of people don't know, but yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So it's his first breakout season. And he has been genuinely.
I can't think of anything that sort of floors him at the moment. I mean, he can cross a ball. His technique on the way he passes the ball is fantastic. Pretty much every time it's weighted perfectly. I mean, he's got a great outside of the foot pass, which he seems to play quite a lot.
Last week he did one
whippage.
Yeah. He did one as well yesterday as well. Left foot, right foot. He can head a ball now, clearly. Can take on players very well. Got a thesis, literally PhD in dribbling.
And he's clutched.
What more can you want?
He's
got that ability to be able to just
he's that carry guy.
Out
he's that guy.
He's that guy.
And then the second question, I suppose. What was the second question I was going to ask about Mitoma? What do you think his ceiling is, I suppose? And again, it's a very similar question to this opinion.
Probably made out of concrete, mate.
Sorry.
What do you think his ceiling is? Is he going to be a world-class player? Is it a purple patch? Do we think he will become, you know, like a Hwang Min-Song? Or, you know, because he's been given a lot of stick, hasn't he? Where he went for a really purple patch where he was arguably one of the best players in the world. And then this season, he's been
a joint top goal scorer last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's been pretty much non-existent this season. Do we see similar vibes for that? Ryan, do you want to start?
I think that you can judge off, you know, say, for example, best Asian player to come out is obviously Son. You've got Jisung Park over the years. But I remember...
Shinzuki Nakamura.
I remember everyone was banging on about, and particularly the Japanese fans were saying, no, he said, they were like, trust me, you know, when this before Mitoma even got a chance, I remember the DMs and the comments on Zio Social, that stuff like that, they were saying, trust me, he's going to be... He is better than all of these, you know, Asian players that have come out. Just hasn't had the chance to show it on a big scale. And we will see. And I'd always read it and be like, oh, I hope so anyway. But then, like, you know, you're starting to see in the short-term results. Did it on the World Cup stage. Can we just remember that too?
World-class. Was it Spain?
World-class would be doing it on the big stage, right? He's done it on the big stage. So, you know, give him another 4 months. Keep doing this. Yeah. Definitely.
You know, I can, and I hate to say it, but watching City today and so seeing some of the reactions from some of the fans, they're lacking pace on the wings. And I feel like Mitoma would be a great purchase for them. It'd be interesting to see if we hold on to him this summer, because obviously he's been phenomenal.
I think there'll be a lot of interest come summer, unfortunately.
Do not let him anywhere. Yeah, he is not allowed out of the house. He's just got to stay. Just lock him in his house for the whole summer. Just don't let him out at all. Give him
meals. There were so many Japanese fans there yesterday. I thought it was quite funny. I think at the beginning of the match, the ball was going over to him and he completely misjudged the ball and it went under his foot and went out for a throw. And I was like, imagine being a Japanese fan that's come flown all this way to see that, to watch a 0-0 against Bournemouth. And then out of nowhere, he just scores a winner. I thought that was incredible. Some of my friends were getting photos with some of the Japanese fans on the train home as well, which was class. So they must be absolutely loving it. Yeah, they're brilliant. They're great.
So, and then final question, just to wrap this up. obviously he scored 5 goals in the Premier League, right, so far. We've got, what, another 4 months to go, roughly?
Yeah, is there like 17 games left or something?
Yeah. How many goals do you reckon he finishes on? Goals and assists, let's go. Ben, you kick us off. Matoma. So he's on five goals, and how many assists has he got? He's got 1 assist.
In what, 8 games?
In eight games, starts. Yeah. 8 starts, yeah. So 15 games, yeah.
Because so didn't start, did he?
And he scored three in his last 3, got an assist against, in the FA Cup against Middlesbrough, and then scored another two against Everton and Arsenal back-to-back.
Will he break our Premier League goal record? Was it Mope and Murray that had 10 goals in a season? Or did Mope break that?
I think Murray got 13 second season. 13. Mope got 10.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know if he'll break Murray's 13, maybe, but I feel like maybe 12 goals. 12 goals, Matoma,
just short. Yeah,
nice. Just short.
Another 7 to go. Another 7. Yeah. The way he's going at the moment, he'll do that.
Do that in those 2 games.
2 games. Yeah, against Palace, hopefully. Yeah.
7
goals. Yeah. He's done it again.
Yeah. Right? He just seems to be a complete robot for goals and assists. I mean, he just completely lives and breathes them. Yeah, if he could get 10 or above, it's successful. I think that's how you measure any forward, isn't it? You know, you say good return. For 2.5 million, you'd have said 3 goals is a good return. So, you know, I think against the Palace side next week, for once, I know this isn't the Palace preview, but I know for once we're going to Selhurst Park, and you know, I think they've got Zaha out. So many times I look at Palace and I'm like, they've got the flair. They've got the players that you've got to worry about. Eze, Olise, Zaha. For once, we've got a player that they can worry about. And it's Matoma. It's actually such a lovely feeling for once to have that. Because we haven't had this in the Premier League, have we? So
I'm getting butterflies in my stomach thinking about it. About us going to Selhurst with the team that we have. Palace not really in great form. Yeah. Although this has happened before when we've gone into this rivalry match where we've been in form and they haven't, but we all know it's a cup final. But we have, like you said, Maz, we've got the players now. We've got clutch players like Matoma, which big hopefully games. He can shake off the fact that it's a big game for the fans and just do what he's been doing against every other club and put an unbelievable performance. And imagine if we beat them at Selhurst, like, comfortably and play them off the park like we have with most teams that we played this season. That would just be so sick, just to see all the Palace fans crying on Twitter, knowing that we are above
the thing
them.
Is Ben, and this is the sort of thing I watch back on Sunday, and it's not us, but it's someone else, and I'm like, God, what a clown! Imagine saying that before a rival, and I'm like, so that's the only thing that's stopping me.
Yeah,
it really does turn into a complete 50-50.
It's hard not to, because
why are we doing a Palace preview? I didn't even mean to do this. This is my fault.
No, we're not. No, it's just nice. We will. We're actually going to do a proper preview on it this sometime this week. So that will be out. I feel like it needs to have its own. Yeah. Needs to have its own episode. Ryan needs to be fully fit,
fresh faced, so
proper dive into it.
Yeah. My eyes need to be more than 30% open, which would be nice.
And I need to start take off this mascara. Hopefully that will be gone by then. Do you want to say any more, Matoma?
Just final thing, Ryan alluded
to it.
I want
to just talk about him for hours, to be honest.
But final thing for me on Matoma, and Ryan alluded to it, 2.4 million, I think it was. Was it
2.4 million? 2.5, 2.4.
That is outrageous. I know we've done some incredible business, and you just got to look through the squad. You know, I think McAllister, less than a five million. McAllister another 2 million, something like that.
Yeah.
I think McAllister was close.
McAllister
to
was
like
10,
eight.
To be fair.
Was he? Like
I think Gross was obviously 1.5. You got Veltman is 900k. Like we've had some great, but
someone was saying Lamptey
was Stevens 300k. I mean that's a
someone was saying Lamptey was like 800k, not actually a few million, which was
that's true. Actually, that's true. Yeah, he was only like 800k, and he's come right back into the frame. By the way, Tarek, he's worth a mention. Yeah. He's been really good. I'm really impressed with Tarek. Last sort of 3 games, he's really proven as well.
Good to see.
We doubted him, didn't we, as well? Nice.
It's really good to see him back. Like, you know, his confidence. Tarek on confidence is so good to watch.
Yeah.
For the Premier League.
We were worried he wouldn't be able to be that same sort of fast.
Yeah.
You know, that, what's the word I'm looking for? Impactful. Just being able to take on players, use
he's
his
just such a likable kid, isn't he? Can't help but love him. He's just great.
And it couldn't happen at a better time, because obviously we've got Palace, and it would be great.
Veltman's gone down a little bit too, so it's come at the right time.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. But yeah, just to quickly go back to the Mitoma point. Yeah, 2.4 million, absolute bargain. Because again, if he does end up leaving, I'm sure we're going to see a hefty, hefty profit off that. So
yeah. Could he be bargain of the decade?
Ooh, I'm trying. That's a great question.
Let us know in the comments. Yeah. Let us know in the comments.
But the thing is, with Brighton, it's such a tough question because we've made so many good, shrewd signings. Mm. So yeah, I think there's a lot of contenders for.
But then Yassin Ayari, we'll talk about this next season. He'll be like,
exactly.
We'll be talking about all these players we signed.
All of them are going to be bargains. Yeah. But that's a great question.
But not
yeah, anyone listening and watching, comment down below. Let us know.
What other bargains are there out there?
Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah. One thing we didn't mention was Jeremy Sarmiento's delivery for Mitoma.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic ball in. Really good ball in. Really reassuring. I think we've always known he's had his bright sparks and he's talented and can take on. But to see him actually have a proper assist like that, I know he did one at Everton as well, but a proper good cross. You know, as a winger, you love a good cross to be met with a header. Which is a great header, by the way.
I've been loving his cameos recently. I thought against Arsenal, he was brilliant as well against
really
Arsenal.
Productive.
Yeah, and yesterday he got the assist. So I really like the look of him. I think again, more he plays, the more confidence he gets, you know, the better he'll get. So
there's so many options.
Yeah, we've got so many options.
We haven't spoken about him. It's so good to see him play. I wish we could watch them all play together, but. Obviously can only have
Julio is just like Julio and Jeremy to me are just like those raw kids who are just so good like playing.
Yeah.
If you watched them in tennis courts, they'd be absolutely ripping apart everybody. Like you'd be never seeing it before. And then they get to the Prem and they still treat football the same as a five-a-side game. And I think that to have that sort of raw talent like them, sort of uncoached, still a little bit naive at times, but sometimes it can be just so entertaining to watch.
And it's just like having fun, football, which is great to watch.
That's the way to describe it. Just having fun. And how good is that to be able to say about a Brighton attack force? We haven't been able to say that for ever.
What is the Jogo Benito? What is the translation of Jogo Benito? Okay. The beautiful game.
Yeah.
That is literally what we're watching right now.
Although neither of them are Brazilian. But yeah, it's still.
Was it Portugal-ish? Portugal-ish.
The day Brighton get a Brazilian, it's over for the rest of the Prem. Like, we do a Leicester. The day we get a Brazilian, it's It's finished, like, gross.
We've got Welle, mate. You're forgetting about Welle. He's Brazilian.
Welle.
But no, I think that's a good time to end the beautiful game.
the pod's gone dry now.
But that was a really good episode, despite how all of us are feeling. That was good. So
done well.
Yeah, nice one, boys. Well. Comment below. What are the bargains? What other bargains can you think of? Not just Brighton. I'm talking all of football over the past decade, even before that. If you can think of a bargain similar to Mitoma, let us know below.
Ben White for
60 million. Yeah. So comment down below that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, of course. You can ask questions on Spotify as well. You can leave a comment on Spotify now, which is quite cool.
Can you?
And also leave a review. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And so then we will see you sometime this week where we will be previewing Crystal fucking Palace, which is going to be. That's going to be nervous.
I can't wait to be at Selhurst again.
Don't get nervous, just get shaky.
I am excited to Selhurst away. I do love playing away.
Saturday as well.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out, guys, in a bit.
Peace and love, prosperity.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.